you inspiration
and hope.
And hope. Because he lives. Simply because he lives. I can face tomorrow. I know he holds the future. I don't know about you. This pending presidential election does not bother me. Because I know God's in charge. So it doesn't bother me. Those of you who aren't aware yet, J.D. is not here this morning. That's why you're looking at this bright orange shirt. It's to distract you from my nervousness. My wife asked me coming to church, "Are you nervous?" And I held my hand out and she says, "No, you're warm. Don't touch me now, sweetheart." I'm not nervous. I am petrified. It's quite a blessing to me to be able to stand up here and share God's word. And I'm humbled every time J.D. calls and says, "Can you? Will you?" It humbles me. But I felt us directed this morning to Romans chapter 4, if you want to go there in your Bible. And before we get started, we will pray again. My Bible wants you to stay down here with me, so it can stay there. But I want to ask a question before I pray. Is anybody in here going through something they can't control? Then I think God's on target this morning. So let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, with our back against the wall. We're like the children of Israel when they fled Egypt. Lord, there were mountains on one side, a desert on the other side, and the Red Sea, and behind them Pharaoh's army. But Lord, you provided a way when there seemed to be no way. And God, I stand here this morning fully assured that you will provide a way for us out of the situations we're in. Lord, it may not be on our time, on our schedule, but you will provide that way. Lord, I pray your blessing this morning upon each and every one that is going through something that they can't control. Because it's a scary thing. And Lord, I ask you to give us comfort this morning. Give us peace. Give us hope, Lord. And then give us the joy to know that it's in your hands. Bless this word, Father, to your glory, your honor, and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 25 is the story of Father Abraham. And I also use the New King James, so this is how it reads. I'm going to back it up to 17. "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. If you read that in the NIV, it's against all hope, Abraham believed. And down in verse 21, it's he was fully persuaded. Now, do you get the picture here? Here's Abraham, 99 years old, and God says, you're going to be a dad. I don't know about Abraham, but if I live to be 99 years old and it's not that far down the road, it gets a lot closer every morning I wake up, I would be going, ain't no way. Not at 99. But Abraham took God at his word. And he says, okay, that's fine. But God didn't stop there, did he? He says, you're also going to be the father of many nations. Now, if you and I went out here today and said, God just told me at 99 years old, my wife is going to give birth to a child. Can you imagine the ridicule? Somebody would look at me and go, what are you smoking? How in the world can you take God at his word when you are 99 years old that your wife, who's almost as old as you are, is going to bear a child? How can you do that? Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. The phrase to hope against all hope is credited to William Tyndale. You ever heard that phrase? To hope against all hope. When a doctor comes in and he looks at the loved one laying there and he looks over at the family and goes, there's no hope. He needs to prepare everything now. Get his house in order. But the Christian should know, yes, there is hope. Because the doctor's not the final say. I think a lot about Judy, our sister Judy. When you read something that they post in an email, it's always giving glory to God, no matter what the situation is. And Pastor Bob goes, and we know this cancer is not going to take our Judy. God's going to take Judy when God's ready for Judy, not cancer. She may fight cancer. She may have to put up with cancer. But that's not the final say. A heart condition is not the final say. Anything is not the final say until God says that it's final. Paul, way back before William Tyndale's time, said Abraham hoped against all hope. He believed. Now, we talk about faith, and here I go. I'm going to start meddling. We talk about our faith. Well, true faith is a faith that is sustained no matter what we're going through. When we wake up in the morning and we want to get up and our back says, no, you're not. It's faith that gets you up out of that bed. When those feet hit the floor and your body wants to stand up and your legs are going, I'm not ready, it's faith that makes you stand up. What kind of faith is this? This is Abrahamic faith. Do we have Abrahamic faith? Well, yeah, we do. If we believe in God. And here's my one statement on that end of the subject this morning. God has told them they're going to have a baby. God has told them they're going to be a father of many nations. Now, they're going through all a lot of ridicule, a lot of health problems, a whole lot of everything that we go through. But yet, they believe. Well, what makes them believe? Well, here's the statement. What made you believe God saved you? The faith that saves you is the same faith that sustains you through whatever trial you're facing. So how did Abraham have such faith before Jesus came on the scene? He was trusting in God. God was the one that spoke to him. And we say, God speaks to us. Well, how did he hope? How was he fully persuaded? I want you to get those two words in your mind this morning. Fully persuaded. And here's how we do this. Number one, Abraham's faith rested in God's promise, God's word, and God's ability. In his promise, God not only promised Abraham to be the father of a son, but whole nations. Abraham hoped against all hope. Physically, we cannot see how this can be. How in the world am I going to get out of what I'm going through? Well, it's not up to you and me to get out of it. We can try all we want to. Most of the time, we wind up making it worse. But if we put our faith, fully persuaded faith, that's faith that doesn't doubt, into God's promise. Well, if you'll read over in your Bible, it will tell you that God's promises are all yea and amen. And God cannot lie. So if God's promised it, then he has to deliver on that, doesn't he? Otherwise, we make God out to be a liar. So we have to put our faith totally into God's promise. Now, has God promised you anything? I know somebody right now personally who's going through a situation and he is convinced God has promised him something. My question is, did God promise it or did he convince himself God promised it? If God promised it, it will happen. If God says, I'm coming back again, believe me, he will come back again. If God says, I'm going to deliver you out of this, he will deliver you out of this. If God told me to get up here this morning and I'll be with you, that's the way I'm up here. I told Dieter, I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm like that long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But God's here. And it's not Leon. It's God speaking through Leon this morning. So despite any health issues, any ridicule, anything your friends want to say, believe in God and his promise. Hang on to it. Don't turn loose of it. Believe God's promise. He will deliver. Now, he also trusted in God's word. How did he trust in God's word? Well, God said, you're going to have a son. I'm going to make you father of many nations. Point blank. Do we have God's word this morning? Besides right here? Does God speak to you and me? We say we're going to believe God at his word. We're going to take his word and we're going to believe it. But then all of a sudden, we start going, well, God said he was going to do this, but I don't feel any different. I don't know that he touched me and healed me. Or we might say, well, I'm going to take God at his word, but I don't see where anything's changed. Or how about this one? Some of us ask God for something and immediately begin to wonder if and when he will answer. When God gets us down and we can't do anything about it, that's when we have to trust in God. You can turn to the person to your right and to your left, and you can trust them. A point. But it's trusting in God's word. Abraham trusted completely. The Bible said in verse 21 down there, he was fully convinced or fully persuaded that God could do what he promised to do. And if we take it any less than that, then we're not fully persuaded in God that he can do what he promised to do. Now, let's take a look at faith for a minute here. Abraham had faith because God spoke to him. He did not have the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. So a lot of people say, well, his faith is past related back there. He depended on God back there. That's all he had. Well, is our faith past related? Not completely. Partially. We depend on God too. But we also depend on the saving grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we both have a past related faith and a future related faith, because Jesus Christ came to this world, was crucified for our sins, was buried and resurrected again, and he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's the promise in the future. Are we Christians just because of that? Is our faith based solely in what God is saying I will do for you in the future? Can you not look back in your life and see where God has touched you in the past? Can you not look at the situation you're in right now and see God standing there going, I've got it. Turn loose of it. It's good to be in Allstate hands, but it's better to be in God's hands. God can deliver on his promises. So our faith is both past and future based, is it not? I believed God saved me back here when I was 18 years old. I went to a little church, my little niece about this tall says, I want to get saved. Nobody would take their child down that aisle. So I stood up, grabbed her hand, and I started walking down. I got about where Dieter is right now, and Dave. And I started to cry. And I stopped dead in my tracks, and I was, what in the world is wrong with me? Am I crying because my little niece wants to get saved? No, I cried because God was calling me to be saved. I didn't know it at the time. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't live up to it for a lot of years. But then one day God hold of me again. And he says, hey, I saved you back there. Not for you to go running around, goofing off, and doing everything you wanted to do after I saved you. But you know what? I love you enough. I'll forgive you. Come on back. So based on that faith that God saved me, I accepted that forgiveness again. I'm 67, pushing 68. And at 64, God said, stop singing gospel music. Start speaking. Our gospel group went from singing to singing and speaking in services. They nicknamed me the mouth of the group because I spoke. I contacted a friend of mine who's an evangelist in Pennsylvania. He travels worldwide to the Ukraine and all over the place. And I said, Greg, what do you think of a 64-year-old man thinking God's call is on him to minister? Greg sent back, we've all wondered what you've been waiting for. I was running. It was Jonah. I was Jonah. I was running. God said, I'm going to call you to do this. And I had to get that faith deepened. This coming Tuesday will mark 4 years of the Tuesday morning Bible study. And I'm still learning from God's word as I teach these people. And they teach me. But my faith is in God's word. I don't doubt his word. I don't doubt his promise. And Abraham didn't doubt his ability either. And that's where a lot of us get in trouble. We want God to deliver now. God, I've got a problem. I need it solved right now. A good friend of mine just This past week, went through back surgery. He fused two discs together, put in pins on both sides of his spine. Some of y'all know my buddy Fred True. Fred told me on the phone yesterday, he says, you know what? He says, God got me down so he could talk to me. He says, he ran me around my house and I ran from him. He says, I'd go out and get in my truck and God would be there. He says, I tried to put my truck in reverse one morning. My truck would not go in reverse. He says, God got me down where I couldn't run. And he spoke to me. And he says, God told him, he says, I'm not asking you to do anything that I won't enable you to do. I'm just asking you to make yourself available to me to do what I want you to do. And Fred says he's waiting to see what it is God wants him to do. And I shared some of this with Fred, and I told Fred, I said, if God's called you to do something, he will give you the ability to do it. If he's called you, it'll be in his word. It'll be a promise to you. And Fred says, well, I'm going to take that and go with it. Then I'm tired of running from God. I said, it's about time, dude. I had to learn the same way. He didn't get me down, but he just kept after me. Do we believe God guarantees his promises? Do we really believe that? You believe you're saved, right? What makes you believe you're saved? Do you feel different? Do you look different? Do you act different? We're taking God at his word. He said, if you'll ask me to forgive your sins, I will do it, doesn't he? And we're taking him at his word. And it's the same faith that gets you through whatever you're going through. It's not a different faith. It's not a different level. It's the same faith. Romans 8:32 says something like this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. That's the past. How will he not also, along with him, freely give us all things? That's the future. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's a promise. You can trust God on that promise with that faith. If he says, I will provide all your needs, you can trust God. He's going to provide all your needs. You remember the children when they got on the boat and they were standing there and Jesus was standing on the shore and he looked at them and he says, go to the other side. You remember that? Remember that story? And they got out there and they got into a storm. And Jesus went out there and calmed that storm, didn't he? What they forgot was when they shoved off from land, God said, you're going to the other side. In other words, he told them, you are going to make it. He didn't say there might not be a storm in the middle of it. Well, that's like life. You know, we get saved and we push off from shore. And then we go through a storm. And then we start to get fearful because, like Peter, when he was walking on the water, he looks down and he sees what he's going through. He takes his focus off of God. And we need to put our focus back on God, not the situation. Back on God's promise, his word, and now his ability. We must become fully persuaded that God can do. Verse 19. Let me read that verse back to you one more time. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Despite the circumstances, faith that is fully assured overcomes what the human sees. We see the impossibility. God sees an opportunity. It's not impossible for him. Does his word not say nothing is impossible with me? Verse 20 says he didn't waver. He didn't doubt. Come on, folks. 99 years old and you're going to have a baby? I cannot stand up here and honestly say I wouldn't have doubted. But that says he did not waver. He did not doubt. His faith was so strong in God that he believed God could do anything, even help them produce a child at age 100. Is our faith that strong? Do we believe God can do something for us? Or are we going back over there to those thoughts again? Well, I haven't seen anything change yet. Nothing's different. I'm not even sure he heard me. Sometimes I feel like my prayers don't go past that roof right there. We look for reasons to doubt if the answer's not right there immediately. Some of y'all don't, well, a lot of y'all don't hunt. Let me tell you what it's like to go out on a deer stand on a cold morning. Now, those of you that do hunt, you'll appreciate this. We find a spot that we think, man, this is it. This is where, you know, that 10-pointer's going to come walking through right here, right in front of me, and I'm going to get him. And we have all the confidence in the world going out there. Now, you guys that hunt, you can disagree with me if you will, if you want to. And we'll go out there and we'll sit in those freezing temperatures with our back against that hard tree for hours on end. Listening to the songbirds, watching the leaves fall, seeing somebody else walk by somewhere close. But that 10-pointer ain't nowhere in sight. And I can't speak for those that hunt in here other than myself, but I start to break out in song. After about 2 or 3 hours sitting against that tree, I started to go, what kind of fool am I? But I have that hope that it's going to happen. And we need to have that hope that God is going to work in our behalf. He says, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Sometimes we may feel that way. But he's not left us or forsaken us either one. If you want to feel left and forsaken, come on, go with us this November up on Sugar Tree Mountain Road, where when the sun goes down, you don't see your hand right here. You feel forsaken because there's nothing around you nowhere. All you hear is things going thump in the night. And you're looking around at each other and taking head count to make sure everybody's still in camp. Somebody not wandering out there. And then when you found out everybody is in camp, you start to wonder, what is out there? But instead of wondering, we should be fully persuaded that God can and will do what we need done in our lives. He will move in our behalf if we will simply have that faith that doesn't doubt and get out of the way. Yeah, I say get out of the way. We get in our own way. I've played this trick before. I've done it before to you. I'll do it one more time. Here, God, there's my problem. It's all yours. You can pick it up anytime now, God. It's right there. Can you see it? God, my toes are going numb. Okay, God, apparently you don't want it. I'll take it back. That's how we do. We give it to God and then we take it back. I'm going to show you the key. Look at verse 16. Chapter 4 of Romans, verse 16. If you don't have a Bible, this is what it says. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to what? Grace. So that the promise might be what? Sure. To all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The faith might be according to grace. It's not according to Leon or anybody else. Here's my problem, Lord. You meet it. I know you will when you're ready to. And God will deliver if we have fully assured faith.